The Bible says it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Now I want you to remember that verse, and I'm going to read a part of the article that Winfred Beachy wrote. Well, you know, he went on that trip to California, and he visited a denominational church on Sabbath, and he sat through their Sabbath school lesson, and he wrote what they was teaching on that Sabbath school lesson. I want to see if this is trusting in the Lord or trusting in man. This is what he says. He says, on Sabbath morning, we visited a local church in Sacramento. There were about 400 to 500 people there that day. My father-in-law and I attended a Sabbath school class where they were discussing the high priestly mystery of Christ. Now, the Sabbath school teacher, this is, he quotes him, he says, the Sabbath school teacher said, there was a time way back in eternity, before anything else existed, that the Trinity was all alone. Before they created anything, all three of them got together. Knowing that humans would need a Savior, they decided to take certain roles. One of them decided to play the role of a father. Another decided to play the role of the son. And the other decided to play the role of the Holy Spirit. I raised my hand and asked, if what you are saying is true, then the father and son are just pretending to be a father and son. The teacher objected to using the word pretending, saying he preferred to use the words acting or role playing. The teacher continued, claiming that if Adam and Eve had not sinned, then there would have been no need for the Trinity to take these roles, and therefore there would be no Father, Son, or Holy Spirit. Just three persons of a Trinity without distinct roles. I raised my hands and asked, this idea of role-playing that you are talking about, can we find anything in the Bible that suggests this? After thinking for a moment, the teacher replied, no, there's nothing in the Bible that speaks about this. And that was the end of the Sabbath school lesson. Now, when I read that article yesterday, it might make me want to cry. These people, there was 400 people here, maybe 500, he said, being taught that Jesus Christ isn't really the Son of God, and that God isn't really His Father, but they pretended to be the Father and Son. It was just roles, just play acting. And the same people teach that Jesus Christ, the one who came down from heaven, didn't really die on the cross that day. And that He wasn't really separated from His Father that day. They say it's always just a play, a drama put on by three co-equal persons. And the sad thing is those 500 people there, people who have read this Bible, who should know better than to believe this nonsense, and no one objected to it. She ain't old enough to read. You let Kathy read the book of John, the Gospel of John. Let them read John 3:16, where it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And you ask them who Jesus Christ is, and they say He's the Son of God. There's no child that could read this Bible come up with such a theory as there's three role-playing gods who took roles. Nobody can come up with that doctrine from the Bible, and they know it. Look at Proverbs 29:5. Proverbs 29:25. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whosoever puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Now why do you think these people didn't rebuke this teacher for teaching such nonsense? They just said, you're teaching that doctrine that's not even in the Bible that denies the sonship of Jesus Christ. But they didn't dare speak up. It's because of the fear of man, the respect of man, and the trust of man. Many would not stand for the simple truth of God's Word because they feared being labeled outcast, unorthodox, and occult, being kicked out of their precious denomination for preaching the truth of God's Word. And some of the others, well, they just have respect for their teacher. Well, he's been to college. He's educated. He knows these things. I don't know them. Having respect for persons. And others will say, well, my preacher is such a good man, a holy man. I trust him to teach me the truth. David said he's going to trust the Lord. Because if we put our trust in men, we'll run into a snare. My friends, if you don't believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you've run into a snare. Now look at Psalms 25:5. Psalms 25:5. prayed. He said, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. God, David prayed to God to lead him into truth. He prayed to God to teach him his truth. He said, for you are the God of my salvation. It's God's job to lead us and guide us into his truth. We're to trust his word. And when he says, I'll wait on thee all the day, he wasn't going to get in a hurry and just try to figure things out on his own. He was going to pray and search the truth and let the Bible interpret itself. You know, Jesus said, when the Comforter is come, the Spirit of truth leads you into all truth. And that's the God we serve. He wants to lead us into all truth if we'll just trust his word instead of trusting upon man. I turn to 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3. 2 Corinthians 11 3. Paul writes to the church of the Corinthians. He says, but I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Paul was worried that this church would be removed from the simplicity that's in Jesus Christ. And if he was alive today, he would see this already come to pass. Where is the simplicity of the gospel truly taught? You know, Angela, she talks to me, and she says, you know, the truth is so simple. But these false doctrines are so confusing. You know what God calls this religious false doctrines? He calls it Babylon. And Babylon is all around us today. It's been a year since we started this little church, and God's blessed. And for the past few weeks, we've been studying the pillars of our faith, or seven foundational doctrines, I guess you could say, that makes us who we are. And I hope they're based on the simplicity of the gospel. It's the truth that there's one God the Father, and he has one Son, Jesus Christ, and they're with us by their Spirit. Simple. It's the truth that Jesus Christ bore all the sins of the whole world and died in our place that day upon Calvary and was raised again 3 days later by the Father. Simple. That's simple. It's the truth that when you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you are forgiven and your record of sin is blotted out. Simple. Is the truth that the dead are really dead? Simple. Is the truth that if you truly love God, you will want to obey His commandments? Simple. That's simple. It's so plain a little child could understand it. There's not too many people believing and teaching the simple truths. So many people have made it so complicated, it'd take a professor trying to figure the plan of salvation out. The Bible says it's so straight. Set away from a man, though he's a fool, shouldn't are therein. Now how simple is it to be saved? Look at Acts 16:30. Acts 16, verse 30. It's speaking of the jailer who was present when the earthquake happened and the jail was opened up that Paul and Silas was in. And it says, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? A jailer recognized that these men knew the one true God. And he asked them, he said, what do I do to be saved? And do you think that Paul gave them 27 fundamental beliefs he had to believe in?
No.
Did Paul say, well, you got to believe that I'm a prophet before you can be saved? Did he give them seven steps to follow? He told them simply to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. That's simple, isn't it? That is simple. Here was a man who wanted to know the truth on how to be saved, and Paul summed it up in one sentence. Now what do we have to believe about Jesus Christ? When he says believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, what do we believe? That's right. We gotta believe that when God said that Jesus was the Son of God, that God was telling the truth. We have to believe that. You must believe that God, after Jesus Christ died for your sins, you have to believe God raised him from the dead. and you must believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if you believe this, then you can be saved. It's that simple. Look at Romans 10:9. Romans 10, verse 9. He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Or did Paul say, he just simply said, believe upon him with your whole heart. And confess Jesus Christ as your Lord with your mouth. And if you believe with your whole heart, then your confession of him as your Lord will be sincere. Is this simple? Did Paul tell the jailer he had to stop smoking before he came to the Lord? Did he tell him he had to learn how to keep the Sabbath before he came to the Lord? Did he tell him, well, you've got to stop drinking before you come to the Lord? You come just as you are. I don't care what condition you are in. I don't care if you're good or worse sinner in the whole world. Jesus has come. If you'll believe upon Jesus Christ and confess him as your Lord, you shall be saved. And once you're saved, God will begin to clean you up. But that sanctification will not begin until you're justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Right now, Jesus loves us just the way we are, and he wants you, the sinner, to come to him. Look at Luke 7:34. Luke 7:34. Luke 7, verse 34. Jesus says, the Son of Man is come, eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Jesus spent so much time with the lost people when he was in this world that the Pharisees called him a friend to sinners. And thankfully, their testimony was true. Jesus is the greatest friend that the sinner never knew he had. Paul said, while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. While I was doing my sins, he loved me and gave himself for me. The greatest friend the sinner never knew he had. If you read the gospel, you see that Jesus Christ, his greatest burden was for the lost man. You know, he debated some with the Pharisees, these religious people that claim to be righteous, but he spent most of his time reaching out to the lost. Let us not neglect the sinner people by spending too much time reaching out to Pharisees. Christ's church is an evangelizing church which shares the gospel with the world. We need to pray that we have a greater burden for the lost. Look at Luke 13:5. Luke 13:5. Jesus says, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. What was Jesus preaching here? He was preaching a gospel of choice. He told the people that they were on the road to destruction, and he showed them another way. He told them that God loved them so much that he gave his only begotten Son, and showed them the way of salvation. Jesus said he was the door. He said he was the only way to the Father, and no man comes to the Father except through him. And he said, you must be born again if you're going to see the kingdom of God. And then he said, repent and be baptized or be damned. He taught that there was a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun, and he laid the decision squarely in the lap of the person. And he said, choose you this day. Choose you this day. And then he begins to plead, choose life. Please choose life. Why will you die? He pleads. Turn with me to Mark 8:36. Mark 8, verse 36. Jesus says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now, when I was younger, several years before I came to Jesus Christ, I had friends who were Christians who came to me and they would tell me, you know, you need to become a Christian. You need to go to church. And I was like, ain't no way I'll become a Christian. Those things in my life that I loved and I knew a Christian could not practice, I wasn't about to give it up for some religion. One of them things, I'll name one of them, was my music. I was into that hard rock, and this band called AC/DC was my favorite band, and I had every tape they had, and I went to their concerts. I grew my hair out like their lead guitar player. I was crazy about this group. And I was willing to reject the gospel of Jesus Christ to hold on to that music. That's foolish, isn't it? There's people who turn their back on the gospel for less than that. And but I tell you, when these people told me about Jesus, they shared with me a watered-down gospel. A gospel that didn't convict me nor move me. But one day there was a little Baptist man gave me a Bible. And some time after that, I sat down and I decided to read some of it. And I read the book of Matthew. And I realized for the first time that God loved me and that Jesus loved me. And I realized that what He went through on that earth and what He suffered at the hands of them people and the pain He put on that cross was all for me. To that moment, I could never understand how people could say, I love Jesus. How could you love somebody you don't know? But when I seen Him through the gospel of Matthew, I fell in love with Him. I fell in love with His Father. And I became so sad over the sins that I had committed. And I asked Him to save me. You know what He did? Look at Romans 10:13. Romans 10:13. Says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Lord was truthful to His promise. When I called upon Him to save me, He saved me. My sins were forgiven, my record was blotted out, and when the Father looked at me, He didn't see 2 decades of sin anymore. He saw the precious life of Jesus Christ upon me. Not only did He save me from my record of sin, but He saved me from the power of sin. Satan had a hold on my life in so many ways before I came to Jesus Christ. But when I prayed that sinner's prayer, He broke the chains of sin and He set me free. Addictions were broken. Sin was ripped from my heart. Look at John 8:31. John 8:31. John 8:31. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It was on that day almost 6 years ago that I came into the truth, and that truth came into me. And it wasn't a set of Bible doctrines, but it was a person named Jesus Christ, because He is the truth. I didn't know the truth about the Sabbath, but I knew the One who had made the Sabbath. I didn't know the truth about death, but I knew the One who had the power over the grave. I didn't understand the prophecies of Daniel and Revelation, but I knew the author of the Bible. I knew the One who had seen the ending from the beginning. I never heard of the word atonement, but I experienced the atonement that day. All the sin that come between me and my Heavenly Father was removed and cast into the sea of forgetfulness. God says, I'll never remember them again. And the God of the universe and His precious Son came to live in my heart, and they promised me, I'll lead you into all truth. And they gave me a desire in my heart to know the truth and to separate from sin and error. And I tell you, friends, I wouldn't trade my relationship with Jesus Christ for all the world. And if you don't know Him like you should, then you need to meet this man named Jesus. And it's so simple. and believe upon Jesus Christ and confess Him with your mouth. It takes one little sinner's prayer to be saved. So you've got to be sincere. You've got to mean it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If you need Jesus, you need to pray today, or you won't have no promise of tomorrow. We'll close with that, and let's pray as long as we need to.